Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. All right. So, good morning, everybody. We got everybody connected with us around the world again. It's been a long 2 weeks. However, I want you to be of good cheer. We have overcome the world, and so has God overcome the world.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you to stick with us. Everything that this ministry has been, it will continue to be. We just had to get ourselves in a fixtured place to be able to make things come together like we need to. And I thank you for being here and being a part of our family, the community of faith family all over the world. There's a bunch of you that we don't ever see, but we are certainly glad you're there. And we're glad that the message of the love of God, the grace of God, and his faith is functioning and working in your life like it needs to. Now, I want you to start right off by going to the book of Jonah. Now, usually when you talk about the abundance of grace, the first thing you don't do is go to Jonah, but you could. Because even though grace wasn't an Old Testament word, all right, because Jesus hadn't died from that point of view of grace, it's still an That noise on my back track means watch out. We got something going wrong. Somebody shut a valve somewhere. Please make no more of those noises on that side. I almost jumped and hit the valve all right now. But see, grace is an eternal process. It's why these preachers that are like, well, that's Old Testament. Old Testament. Wait a minute. You got to get out of this. Just think, we're in the New Testament. We don't have to do that no more. Woo-hoo! We get to slide on by. No, the old covenant passed away, and the new covenant is much better, much greater, much more holy, much more righteous, much more peaceful, much more powerful. And Old Testament people, God lived up in heaven. New Testament people, God lives in you.
Amen.
One of the biggest problems in 2022 is that people read Old Testament Psalms and want to act like Old Testament people in New Testament times with the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness and God living on the inside of you. Thank God for the Psalms. It showed us a man of God chasing God in the middle of a world that hated God, and we get to see the expressions of his heart and realize, wait, we're not alone, but my goodness, don't act like them people. We got a better covenant based in better promises.
Amen.
Now, don't worry. That was all interruption. That was all introduction just to get us to Jonah, the book of Jonah, and then hold our Bibles up and make our confession and get started. Thank God for the day that we live in. Are you ready? I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I am ready. Hold our Bibles up. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word
I
says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He is the great I am.
Because He is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher.
My resident teacher.
Is making His Word this.
Is making his word.
Come alive. In my life today.
In my life today.
I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Now watch. In my spirit.
In my spirit.
In my soul.
In my soul.
And in my body.
And in my body.
See, some people are like, well, I want a hundredfold return of money. No, God wants you to have a hundredfold return in your spirit, because that's perfectly in tune with him. And your soul, so it stops fighting you to do the good things of God.
Yeah.
And in your body, so you have a supernatural earth suit while you're here on this earth getting his will accomplished.
Amen.
We should finish our prayer in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Go with me to Jonah chapter 1, 2. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. When you want to talk about God's overflowing abundance of grace,
oh my goodness, yeah.
What is grace? Grace is God's supernatural empowerment that comes upon you to cause you to be able to get accomplished what he wants you to get accomplished. Now wait, grace is also when you don't get what you do deserve. No, I didn't say that. That's mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. We all deserve hell. We don't get it. That's mercy. Grace is when you do get what you don't deserve. And that's all of God's blessing. So one is a supernatural empowerment to get the work of God accomplished. Two, grace is God standing in saying, you accepted Jesus' blood. You get all of the abundance of heaven. All right? And then grace is also God's provision through Jesus and the blood that totally annihilates all of sin, wipes it all away, and makes you white as snow, clean as a whistle. I was going to say the same thing, but where in the world is clean as a whistle going? How is a whistle clean? Because if you, it ain't clean. You're going to get some. Look at Moses and Noah, both of them right in the belly of the whale with Jonah. I cried out to the Lord because of affliction, and he answered me. Where? In the whirlwind? In the fire? In the earthquake? That's what man wants to see. But where did God answer him? In the inner man. And wait. Elijah was so torqued at God or torqued at somebody, he ran for 40 miles, hid in a cave, and God showed up in an earthquake.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, that ain't me. And he showed up in a fire, and he goes, nah, that ain't me. And he showed up in a mighty wind, and he said, no, that ain't me. And then what did he do? How did God show up to him? In a still, small voice. Where is that voice? Right here. One of the reasons. So many people do not have the blessing of God in their life is they have so much noise that
yes.
they cannot hear
yes.
the word of Almighty God as he's trying to minister to them.
Yes.
Now, you can't point your finger at God and say, and say, God, why are you not talking to me? Because the whole time you're awake and the whole time you're alert, God is talking to you. You and I, what we have to do is we have to say, God, you're talking to me and you're talking right now. I'm just too preoccupied with all of my earthly stuff, with all of my earthly ways. And I just can't talk to you right now. I love you. I really, please trust me, Lord. I love you. But I am too preoccupied to talk to you. But I want you to see something. Because how many of you think that Brother Jonah would have been too preoccupied to talk to God? Trying to dodge a shrimp,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and whatever else is coming in the whale.
Yeah.
And you know, he's like, oh. But see, you're not too preoccupied to ask God for help. when all of hell is broken loose, or when rebellion has happened, or when just the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, the desire of other things have come in and choked out the word. See, the reality of it is, we have a tendency to set up all kinds of roadblocks to why God can't move in our life. Wait, no. Wait, I'm not setting up roadblocks, Pastor. I'm just busy. But see how we say it? When the reality from heaven's view, God on his throne, Jesus next to him, Holy Spirit in our life, they're living in here. God's not short of answers. We're short of listening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the free abundance of his grace that makes it all come to pass. Now, I honestly want you to see this. Because there's nobody who's born again. Now listen to this statement. There's no one who's been born again who on the inside naturally by God living in us doesn't already know that, wait, God has done more than enough for me. And if I pray, he's going to hear my prayer. The challenge that we face is that we've had people that we've allowed to teach us messages that say, well, but you're busy and God understands that. Yes, but it doesn't say that God says, I know you're busy, but it's okay. Talk to me later. What he says is, I know you're busy. And in the midst of your busyness, get your heart, your mind, and everything focused on my grace. Because if you'll put my grace involved in your busyness that I have given you to do as your father, you will go get my work done. He didn't say, come unto me, all you labor, and I'll give you rest, and you won't ever get anything accomplished. You'll just lay around the house and in the hammock and drink iced tea and eat cheese and apples. No, because the last thing God wants for you to do is to show up with him and then say, I'm here, Lord, but I ain't going to do nothing for you. You and I are bought with a price. And what's the price? The very blood of Jesus. And Jesus didn't buy you with a price. Say, there, aren't you glad I did that for you? No, we're bought with a price because he wants to truly make a difference in our lives. And many times what people are fighting and where they're missing it is that we came to God, we love God, but we've quit offering ourselves to God because he's going to ask me for my life. Now, I don't, it's one of those crazy situations that people don't understand it. They're like, yeah, but Pastor, look at you. Look how hard you're working and going and doing. Well, yeah, I am. But what you got to realize is there's great joy. Really, there's really great joy in doing this. You're like, I don't want to go drive no back truck and preach on the internet. And everything. No, that's not your assignment. That's mine. That's not your assignment. That's mine.
Amen.
All right? You might say, Pastor, are you assigned to this? Well, let me say it to you this way. I believe in God's heart, mind, and soul, and understanding, the answer to that question is, yeah, I'm assigned to this. All right? I can guarantee you, I have no desire to keep living like I'm living right now every single day. But you know what?
Right.
The Apostle Paul didn't plan on walking 500 miles in order to get to his next assignment either. But somewhere in all of that walking, God moved, and all of a sudden, here's God working, And everybody's standing around saying, hey, God's working. And Paul's like, whoa, we found it. Let's go over into Macedonia and help those people. Come, how many of his team members are like, are you kidding me? We just walked 500 miles. What did Paul say? Well, at least you get to have a boat ride. Because in order to get to Macedonia, they had to call the edge, cross the Adriatic Sea. And he probably looked at them and said, oh, boys, at least you're not in the belly of a whale. We're on a ship. Aren't you glad we said yes every time he said, no, don't preach here? Anybody home? Anybody home? This is a very, very, very important, is anybody home? And the free abundance of grace is what we're talking about today. But I wanted to set this up like this. Well, I didn't want to. God wanted me to set it up like this. Because it's easy for us to say, yeah, but, you know, but Paul didn't have anything to do. I do have stuff to do. What about Ananias, who got Paul healed so the scales fell off his eyes, filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues? A simple apostle, or not, a simple disciple, got the world's greatest terrorist, religious terrorist, filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
See, what is it that we're looking at? Are we looking at like, well, don't put me out there. There's mean people out there.
Yes.
What was you, Jesus? And Jesus is like, I have an Apostle Paul out there. And I need you to reach if it's all right with you. Mm-hmm. And then there's a Timothy we're going to find. And there's a Barnabas we're going to find, and there's somebody else we're going to find. See, all of a sudden we realize God's wanting to use us to be a blessing. All right, I got to send one more thing here, and I keep trying to think to get this to happen. I want to, but I just preached all that preaching right while I've sent all my shares. I want you to know you can do more than one thing at one time.
But back to the busyness thing, too. You can't let that busyness take you away from hearing what you're supposed to be doing from God. He even rebuked one of the churches in Revelation. Which one was it?
Yeah, Laodicea.
Yeah, get back to your first
love. Well, no, that wasn't Laodicea. That was a different one, but he did the Laodicea, too.
Yeah,
he said, so you're rich, you're naked, you're poor, and you're blind. Why? They were just going and doing their own thing. Now, back to Jonah. Everybody thought, you missed Jonah. He's off Jonah. He's been all over the whole world since Jonah. I'm just glad I'm not in the belly of a whale. Did I make you in the stream?
Yes. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Sister Kathy. We're glad to have you here. Hurry up and grab your Bible. We're in the book of Jonah.
Okay. It's over. Right now.
Amen. Now, let me get these some more copies so I get it myself. Yes. All right, now, so let's look at this. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, Jonah said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Well, his affliction was rebellion when he said, I ain't doing that. So maybe your affliction is rebellion, Jonah 2, 1. But... even if it is, well, all you got to do in that affliction is stop the rebellion, and the affliction stops, and the manifold abundance of God's grace begins to work in your life. If you think about the story in the book of Acts, think about the Simon the sorcerer. When Apostle Paul looked at him and said, one of those guys, yeah, he was a sorcerer. He said, Peter said it. He said, may you and your money perish in hell. You're like, whoa, dude, don't say that on me. I obviously don't understand what's going on here, but I don't want that perish in hell situation. I've been a sorcerer. I know what's here. I want you to understand something. I want you to see this. There's a whole lot of people, and all of us are going to have to deal with this. This is just a one-minute sidetrack right here about sorcery. When people come to God, they got to turn their back on sorcery and walk away from it forever.
Yes.
And many people who have been in sorcery, which is witchcraft, once they get there, they're like, oh, well, I understand the dark side, so I should study it more so I could help everybody on the bright side figure out how not to be there. You don't become light by studying darkness.
Amen.
You cannot do it. It doesn't work. You will go back to that darkness
yes.
again, or worse yet, you'll mix that darkness with the light. Wait, and you can't. Our light cannot be mixed with darkness because the light goes out and you become darkness.
Amen.
God says, it's real simple. When I come, you're full of light. But if you're going to mix the false fallen angels' wisdom or mentality, if you're going to embrace that, then I have to let you have it. So people don't say, like, well, you know, just a little mixture. No, it isn't. Because when you start going to sorcery, then God has to take his hand off you because light and darkness do not mix. Light destroys darkness. Light overpowers darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is this great big being that can create something. Darkness is just the mere absence of light.
Yeah.
So if there's darkness in you, that means there's just an absence of light in you. If you want the darkness in you to disappear, add more light. Add more light. Why? Because as soon as you add light, darkness disappears. That's why David said, Psalm 119, 105, I think, thy word have I hid, where? In my heart, because I don't want darkness in there. So I put his word in my heart, and what happens? Light, darkness, please. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. For those of you that actually made it with us throughout this week when I was live broadcasting on Zoom, in the evening, talked about this all week long. How do I get rid of what's in my soul and in my natural way of acting so that I can be like God, talk like God, act like God? Well, you got to hide the word in your heart that brings light. That light will automatically expose all the darkness that you've added to your life through words, through actions, through people that you don't need to be associated with, through teachers that teach you to do things that's not godly. And now you've got a soul that you're trying to force this light in, but you got all this dark mentality. No, fill it with the word. The word in itself will do the work of driving it out. And as soon as you see mentality, it's like, wait, that's not the word. Then drive it out. I will not think that thought again. I will not act that act again. I will not do that deed again. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, by the light of God's word, just showed it to me. Now watch this. Verse 2. I'm in Jonah 2:2.
Good morning, Mary. Glad you're with us.
Good morning, Mary. Pastor Rick, glad you're with us. Make sure you call Dan on the phone and wish him and Gwen a happy anniversary. Sing to him. Right. We already did here. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried. You might say, I am living in hell. Well, put the light of God's word in your life and you no longer will live there, right? From the belly of Sheol, I cried and you heard my voice. Now, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas and the flood surrounded me and your billows and waves passed over me. Well, God didn't cast you into the sea. Sailors did and said, boy, you going down and we ain't going down with you. I'm in Jonah. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 is what we've read so far. God wasn't being mean to Jonah. The sailor said, it's because of you we're going down. I ain't going down. Our ship is not going down, Mr. Prophet.
Well, anytime you oppose God's will, you leave yourself open for the enemy to do what he wants.
Now, Jonah chapter 3, verse number 1. Jonah has survived a whale irping.
Whale irping.
This is my testimony. I survived a whale irping. Chapter 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, hey, Jonah, I still want you to go preach. Oh, Jesus, I smell like fish guts. I smell like fish meat. Woo! Do you realize Jonah did not have a shower? I mean, where are you going to get a shower? He had to wait for the first river so he could jump in. He's still in his Jonah running clothes. I mean, he didn't have a nice carry-on package as he went with some more T-shirts, underwear, and socks. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Jonah rose and went to Nineveh. According to the word of the Lord, Nineveh was an exceeding great city, three-day journey in extent. I mean, those people could do about 20 miles a day. That means that city was 60 miles wide. That was a big city. Big city. Wait, and if you didn't know it, my mom texted me after we read Jonah for Read the Word. She said, do you realize that Nineveh was 90 miles from the nearest water that a fish could puke him on? 90 miles. The dude had to walk for 90 miles. Our dude prophet Jonah had to walk for 90 miles to get to Nineveh. All of a sudden, he remembered, this is why I don't want to go to Nineveh. And he's walking 90 miles, you know, 15 miles a day. That's 6 days he's walking for the Holy Spirit to come upon him and praying the Holy Ghost to say, give me my word. Well, Jonah began to enter the city. I'm in verse 4. Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and he cried out and said, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Doesn't that make you wonder why they didn't just take him out right there? He's a prophet. They can't take you out when you're prophesying by God.
Oh,
verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed in God, proclaimed the fast, and proclaimed the fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Watch this. The word of the Lord came to King of Nineveh, and he said, everybody better be fasting. Verse 10, Jonah 3:10. Slow down. Jonah 3:10. I'm in go mode.
Yes, you are.
Jonah 3:10. Watch this.
Yes. Please slow down.
Hey, Kathy, it's all right. You can type it right in there. Slow down.
Well, it takes me a long time to type it in. I can just say it. Yes. Please slow down. Thank you.
I love you, Kathy. Wait, it's the Holy Spirit. Crank it up. In the race car world, let's put some nitrous oxide on that pen you got there in your typing finger. What? Jonah 3:10. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. You ready? Here comes another one of the revelations for today. Wait, I'm letting everybody finish that last thing that they were typing as a note.
Yep.
And typewriter.
Ding.
Which message of God do you want to be known on? Known by? Known by? God's judgment, that he's going to kill you if you don't change because you're a wicked nation? Or do you want to be known for the grace of God that you just spoke judgment and they believe and now his grace is manifest in their life? Because many times it's real easy for us believers to speak a word of judgment against the situation. But why would God have us speak a word of judgment? So that person would come to their senses and say, wait, I got to change. And as soon as they say that, what is the only message left that God wants them to understand? The abundance of his grace. Because you turn. So judgment is no longer necessary. It's real easy if you're a sin-conscious Christian to point out the sin in everybody else's life and speak judgment. But what's the whole purpose of judgment? Ready? I'll give you another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. Don't turn there, just write it. 1 Corinthians 11, 31, because all y'all know it. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged by man. And then God doesn't have to judge us, because God, by the Holy Spirit moving through us, is now going to help us judge ourselves so that he doesn't have to. I really want to get this picture inside of every single one of us. This is a good message. You need to listen to this two or three times today. Watch this. Yes, judgment is coming. But anyone who has not turned themselves over to the reprobate mind, because they've shaken their fist at God and said, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you're doing. I'm not turning to you. Well, you're going to be reprobate after a period of time. You see, once that person turns from that judgment and receives grace, the only message that's important is the message of grace. Oh, he said that's coming. Watch this. God's judgment comes upon a man or a woman or a city or a nation, causes them to change. Whoa! We don't want all that judgment, and we change. Well, as soon as we change, guess what happens? God no longer is in judgment. God is now in grace. God came to live inside of you and make his abode within you. And now it's not about his judgment anymore. It's about his grace. You go to him and say, I did wrong, judge me. No, I took care of all that judgment by the blood. It's thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. Get out of judgment and get into grace. Now, not this weird grace that they're teaching out there today, that I don't have to do anything of the Old Testament, that I don't have to do, I'm just free to live however I want to live. I can go sin if I want to sin. I can go hang out with sinners if I want to hang out with sinners. I can be, look, and act just like a sinner, and it ain't no big deal. No, it is a big deal. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And anybody who doesn't teach that message, come out from among them and be ye separate, when they're teaching grace, is teaching the wrong grace doctrine. Will you go to hell if you have a tattoo on your body? Nope. But once you find God, the whole purpose of a tattoo went away.
Wow, that is true.
Because the glory of the image of Almighty God is not a tattoo made by some man in a perverse place, with perversity hanging around on the wall. And you put something here on your arm. Now, I've seen people with beautiful butterflies and all the other stuff and very pretty stuff. And God made a butterfly to fly out there, not put on your arm and walk around telling you like how much I look like a butterfly. No, you are made in the image of Almighty God. Now, wait, Pastor, are you on tattoos? I'm on tattoos for those who've been born again and filled with his Holy Spirit, because he's going to lead you away from that. Because what he needs is the glory of the image of God on the inside of you to make you radiate and shine him. And there ain't no tattoos on God.
Amen.
Good morning,
Roger.
He said, I'm going to put my name on you, but it won't be a tattoo. It'll be the glory of God that is shining out, and you'll see the name of God on you.
Amen. Amen.
Why are you on this, Pastor? Because there's a whole lot of people that are teaching the doctrine of grace that says you can go drink at a thing, at a place where people are drinking, and you're covered by grace. Grace empowers you to go do that. No, it does not. Come out from among them and be ye separate. That means you're not going over there. You're going over here. How many tattoo parlors are there where you go and it's just images of Jesus and the wonders of God? Wait. Am I judging somebody that I didn't hear with my own ears what he said 14 days ago? Well, it's okay. Go get a tattoo. Go get one that comes up out of your thing and it comes up all over your face. Nope. See, this is very interesting. I'm on this. All right. Go to Egypt. Go to Exodus. Go to Leviticus. And God said, don't do what Egypt did in the markings of your skin. That's Old Testament. God saying, don't be looking like the world. And I see these Christians. Watch this. Wow, am I going to be known for this judging word or the grace word? Watch me, I'm going to be known for grace. I see these beautiful, wonderful worship leaders that are covered with the glory of God and the wisdom of God and the word of God, and they can lead you into the presence. And now that they get there and become famous, they go get a tattoo. Do you know where they get it? Right here on this arm. You know why? Because then I'll wear a short sleeve shirt so that when I lift my hands, that tattoo is seen that everybody, I'm just like you. And here this beautiful worship person is standing in front of us with something tattooed on their arm that our God said, don't do, especially when you've already been the vessel of his glory and his beauty and his wonderful. Pastor, will I go to hell if I get a tattoo? Nope. The day will come when you'll regret it.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the free abundance of grace. Wow. Wait, why'd you go there, Pastor? Because this is an example of mixture. Fiery darts will come from anywhere. Even your own lovely, beloved mate. Can't believe how many times Sister Leanne has sent a fiery dart at me. She didn't send a fiery dart at me. She woke up and was having a day herself. I was having a day. And if we've not submitted ourselves to God for the day, it's easy for all of us to snap a word. And if you have a friend that continually gives themselves to the ways of the flesh, anytime they come around you, they're going to speak fiery darts. And you and I got to say, whoa, 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 whoa.
And the devil loves that because division is a huge, huge.
So, back to my first statement, then we're going to go to the New Testament. Watch this. Jonah rebelled, ran away, thrown overseas, overboard, swallowed by a whale, said, whoo, better come to my senses. Preached the judgment of God. And then was angry because God actually showed grace to the people. Will God forgive all these people that are out there getting tattoos and drinking in the bar and acting like sinners?
Yeah.
Well, he will to a certain extent. But then there comes a point where he says, well, if that's what you want to be, then go be it. And he'll remove his hand, his power for us. We are literally seeing people with powerful anointings. God's going to remove that anointing from them. Why? Because you're allow me to say the word, you're fornicating it in front of the whole world. with the world.
They are. You're not. They are.
That person is real. Now, you ready? Here's the grace part. Turn, and you won't be in there anymore. Jonah turned. God spit him out. He survived. And look at this picture. This is going to be our message from now till Jesus comes. It's going to be one of the important messages we teach. And that is, every single day, everywhere we go, there's going to be somebody giving up on the things of God and going back to the world. Well, I can do it. It's no big deal. Oh, you can. Because the very verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 21, the very verses where Paul quotes the Old Testament and says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. Second Corinthians 6:14-18. Slow down. No, let's put the grace. Thank you for the question, Roger. Ready? Let's put the grace on the judgment. If somebody has a tattoo and they get born again, what's God say? He says, oh, it's just a little bit of ink. If you believe me, I can cleanse your soul. I can cleanse your arm. It's just ink. I'm looking for the testimony, and I know it's out there, from somebody saying, I got born again. I was covered with tattoos. No surgery. What happened? I went to a service with God where the manifest presence of the Lord is, and he totally removed all the tattoos from my arm. I stand in his glory and his image today. See, I could just about preach about makeup today.
Please don't.
No, see, there's an abundance of grace. Grace doesn't cover. Grace now purges you from sin, strengthens you to be a man or woman of God, and causes you to never do it again. There's no glory in saying, well, I don't have a tattoo and you do. That ain't God. God will receive anybody. What? The point of my statement today is God doesn't want a national leader of our day saying, look, I went and got a tattoo and I didn't go to hell yet, to prove that God loves people with tattoos. Just backwards thinking. But that's why they do it. That's why they do it. They go get those tattoos so that when they're preaching, everybody says, well, he has a tattoo. That's a good thing. If God loves him, God loves me. Well, yeah, but you know what else it shows? You're a man of God that once was pure, holy, righteous, honorable, loving, and God put a heavy anointing on you, and now you went out and acted like the world to get it. Well, no, Pastor, I went to a Christian who did it. Read the book of Exodus. Come out from among them and be separate. No, wait, that's the judgment message. Let's get back to the grace. Look at verse 14. I know I've been on this now for a couple of weeks, but I got to be here because this is the message of God. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Kathy, do I need to slow down?
Now.
Don't make me laugh right when I drink a cup of coffee. Woo!
Good morning, Sunday.
I'll be baptizing Sister Leanne. They baptized Sister Leanne. Now, we don't talk to anybody about their tattoos. They're there. Wait, let me tell you a tattoo story. Why am I on this? Goodness sakes alive. I know why I'm on this. I got a young man born again once. And 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. What? I got him born again. This is the most amazing thing. He had a very detailed tattoo of a naked woman's head and chest, naked, on his arm. Very detailed. Somebody was a skilled tattoo artist. This wasn't done in a prison cell somewhere. And it was his second service after that. And you know what he said to me? He said, "Pastor, I know it's summertime, but when I come to church, I'm going to have a long sleeve shirt on." What's going on? I wasn't thinking, you know. He said, "Well, you know this tattoo on that." I'm like, "Oh, yeah." He said, "It's not appropriate that that be where children can see it." Oh, wait a minute. I didn't say that. Last thing I'm going to do is condemn him about a tattoo. Hold it. Get the reality of what I'm teaching right now. I'm not condemning anybody that's got a tattoo. I'm telling the church leaders, stop telling everybody to go look like the world and say it's covered by grace. It is not. Right? How did that young man just bathed in sin? Who told him that? I didn't. I don't teach a message. How many times have you heard me preach about tattoos in the last 2 years?
A couple of times.
Couple of times, maybe.
Briefly.
God Almighty spoke to that young man. You know what he did? He always wore a long shirt. And the first week, it was a t-shirt. You know what it was the second week? A nice white shirt. Button-up collar. What? He wanted to dress up and come up into the house of God. Watch this. He then said to me, "Pastor, do you think I should spend the money to do the laser surgery to have it removed?" And I'm thinking, holy Toledo, what would that cost you, you know? And he didn't have a lot of money. I said, "I don't know. How about you just take that and have him put Jesus on it?"
Yeah.
Or wear the long sleeve shirt and start believing God to get it removed and off it. You ever seen these people that's got tattoos all over their face? Think about how beautiful it's going to be on that day when God just, and it all goes away. Watch this. 14, do not be unequally yoked with the unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Zero. What communion has light with darkness? It doesn't. Light shows up, darkness disappears. That's how it happens. See, it's not deep. We just have to be receptive of it. Can I get an amen from anybody?
An amen.
Not deep.
Great amen.
Great amen. Roger Oxley, I've needed to hear you say great amen all week long, my brother.
So
say it again.
The great amen.
Everybody say it with me.
The great amen.
See, verse 15. What accord has Christ with Belial? Why would God send any Christian into a place of wickedness to transform it, destroy it, drive wickedness out, and make it righteousness? See, there's no mixture. Read it. It's right in the Bible. Ready? Verse 15. What part has a believer with an unbeliever in a point of agreement? Remember our Amos verse we've been talking about. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, no. But unless you're deciding to go to be where the wicked are, pretty much you can guarantee it that the wicked is not going to come to where you are. See, God said it. Can two walk together? Amos 3:3. That's just a reference. Amos, A-M-O-S, 3-3. Bless you, Sunday. Welcome. Good to see your smiling face. 16. What agreement has the temple of God, we always point up, what agreement does the temple of God, that's right here, you and me, what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? Zero. Temple of God shows up, idols flee because they're of the false god. You are the temple. I will dwell in them and live among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Oh, my goodness, just work. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, you and I got to look at this and say, man, the enemy, the good people around you, they're not out there saying, I'm going to go wrong, I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to do wrong. But see, that deceiving spirit wants you to believe that you can mix the devil with God, and you can't mix it. It's not allowed. Because the very nature of light is when it shows up, darkness has to flee. That's why when you are light and you walk into darkness, there's a resistance and an opposition. Why? Those people have given themselves to darkness for their whole life. You show up with light. I'm watching it happen right now out here in what I'm doing. Because where I go, there ain't no little store around the corner where you can go get ice. And if you don't take it with you, you don't have it. It melts real quick out here. But there's a bar right there in the corner. I stopped in there, and they're like, if you need ice, man, come get it. Nobody needs to be out here in this day. And they give it to me. But that's a place of wickedness. And I know my example there is light. Because I'm not going to let their wickedness get me to sit down at that bar. No way. I came in there just to get a cup of ice. And the lady's been giving me the ice, but I'm taking the dollar bill. Next time I say, no, I'm paying you for this. No, give it. No, I don't ever do that. No, I'm going to pay for this. I'm a man of God. I pay for things. And I'm going to say it. I'm a man of God. I pay for what I do. And you know what? That word, man of God's now going to adjust the whole atmosphere. Yeah. You'll be able to feel that building shake, man. Yeah. Why? Because light overpowers darkness. That's why with religious people, when you and I show up and we have the true abundance of grace on the inside, they get a little at us. Why? Because they've not given themselves to all light. They've given themselves really to darkness. But I love you, Jesus. In darkness. But I love you, Jesus. But I'm going to live a life of darkness. I'm going to watch darkness. I'm going to hear darkness. I'm going to go be where darkness is. But I go to church on Sunday and say, hey, I love you, Jesus. Well, I got word. That's going to make a life of absolute confusion because you live all week long giving yourself to that other world. And then on Sunday come and say, woo, I love Jesus. And on the inside, God says, oh, wait, hello. Get the free abundance and grace. The very nature of light. Why does it get dark outside? Because the sun goes on the other side of the world, and we don't see the sun. Why does it get light? Not because somebody turns the dark switch off. There is no dark switch.
Amen.
There's only a light switch. And as soon as the light switch is triggered, the darkness goes off. Now, I can guarantee you in this last week when it was 95 degrees, I wanted to find that switch that said somebody dimmed the lights a little bit.
Yeah, turn that sun down a little bit.
Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It's so good to have everybody all together.
It is. Now, address with the, since you're dealing with the tattoo thing, how many people do have Jesus. They have scriptures, they have crosses, they have memorials of
right.
deceased people.
right. Thank you.
In their tattoos.
Now, I understand that whole thing about you're going to have your son with you, your daughter with you,
yeah.
Somebody died, and I got a verse of scripture and all the rest of that. So, I'm going to very specifically say the same thing. Why are you doing it? What is it doing? And talk to God about this. What was the purpose of the tattoo? Why did they do it? Study it. Because you will be known by it. I know, there's a lot of people that follow me. They're like, wait a minute, preacher. What are you saying about tattoos? Am I going to hell? No, nobody's going to hell. God's not going to send anybody to hell to have ink on their arm, their leg, their chest, their back, or nothing.
Right.
What is going on? If that is your therapy, why is pain your therapy? So people say, I need some more therapy. And then they'll say the word pain. Well, what does that mean? A trauma happened, which is severe pain. And now you're reliving that day. Why? Because the pain became so real that you accepted it as part of you. Well, Pastor, you don't have any tattoos. How do you know? I've had many interviews with many people, and many times I've talked with many people, and that's exactly the same words they all say. It's my therapy. And I feel the pain again. And that's so important that I don't forget the pain. Well, who's Jesus? Jesus is no pain. Jesus doesn't want you bound in that pain. Jesus doesn't want you to go back and relive the pain. He came to set the captives free from pain. He came to deliver you from the trauma of that event that happened to you. Not to cause you to go live it again to remember that horrible day. Yeah, but Pastor, I've been to a lot of churches and that's not what happens. Well, I know, that's the problem with church. But the answer is still God, and the answer is still his word, and the answer is still his ways. He came to set at liberty them that are bruised. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to give you, thank you, Ken, to give you life and life more abundantly. And that's no different than somebody saying, I got divorced and it hurt real bad, so let's do it again. I don't recommend divorce the first time. I have survived many things and I'm pretty strong. Yeah, well, you are. You are. I got to circle the wagons here because everybody, I want to make sure this message has the message of grace on it. It's interesting that I hit that subject of tattoos, and people are like, it's like you're hitting in the low gear. Brother Ken and our brothers know how to drive a big semi. Like, whoa, I got to get into a different gear, get this thing back up, and get me some RPMs going here. Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. I'm not down on anybody that's got a tattoo. I'm not. I am causing all of us to say, wait, if I have the light of God's love in me, why do I want to cover up God's beauty of who I am with something of a pain? That all that does is remind you of that dreadful day, and God doesn't want you to be reminded of that dreadful day. Give it, Pastor, I'm putting a picture of my son or daughter. Well, okay, you're going to have to talk to God about that. You're going to have to talk to God. And I'm not going to tell you not to honor your son or daughter. I'm not going to tell you that. I am not going to do that. But watch. And I'm not going to judge you if you have one on your arm. I'll stand right next to you. But I am the preacher that's going to look at you and say, hey, why are you doing it? What's behind it? It's from this day till Jesus splits that eastern sky, you and I got to say, wait, why am I doing what I'm doing right now? Even the preacher. Why am I doing this? Is it going to give me life or is it going to give me bondage? Jesus set me free. I don't no longer have to be judged because light came in. And now I just got to get this life filled with abundance of light. Romans 5, I got to get there because I keep getting this eye from the end. Your hour of faith is almost up. Woo! Brother Ken, tattoo has a story of life. My body has enough scars already. Don't need any ink to tell my story. Ask me. I will tell my story.
Amen, Ken.
Now,
amen.
Now listen. I got about 250 people right now listening to me that have tattoos that I know. I'm not judging you. Hear me out. I am not judging any of you. I'm saying to the preacher who stands in the pulpit and says, see, I'm like the world. Stop it. I don't have permission from God to say, don't put a picture of your son or daughter who died on your arm or your belly or your back or whatever. I don't. I have the assignment of God to say, what is the reason you're doing it? If the reason is not life and blessing, then you're on the other side, and that will not produce life. It'll produce more death. And you can't live a life of life celebrating death. It doesn't work. If you decide to celebrate death, God says, well, I guess I have to let you. I just brought you life and life more abundant. See, the whole purpose of this message today is, wait, God delivered you from judgment. Live in the light of his grace. Now, I know right now by God Almighty, through my gift as a prophet, an apostle, and a pastor, I am fixing some things for some people right now today. And I am not going to apologize for helping you get it fixed. And every one of you that might listen to me and say, Pastor, I don't get what you're saying, or you might even get angry. I don't even agree with you. Text me. Email me. Let's create an absolutely amazing, wonderful communication about this. Because my only purpose in all of my life is to be a blessing to you and get you free from every part of death that's holding you down to this earth. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. If you're going to have health in your body, you got to find out where that life flow is on the inside of you. Romans chapter 5, I'm going there. Verses 1 and 2. Ken Brumbaugh, it's so good to see you, my brother.
It is. And Roger, you need to put that testimony on the testimonies page. Or do you want me to? Because I'd be happy to. That's a great testimony.
You have my permission, Sister Leanne.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, look at what it says. We have peace with God. Why do you have peace? Because you received the free gift of righteousness, which God brought his grace, annihilated all your sin, and no matter whatever happened in the past, it's forgiven, it's gone, and now you're free. Right now you're free.
Yeah.
Verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What does that mean? His glory comes upon us. It will be seen on our face. Isaiah chapter 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. See, what God wants from you and I is, he comes inside, boom, and now his light shines out of us every day, all day long. Why? Everybody else is sad, we're happy. Everybody else is depressed, we're strong. Everybody else is weak, we're strong. Everybody else is broke, we got it. All of those words, God's doing that in our life. Why? Because we received the grace of God. Now let's get some other verses here. Verses 8 and 9. Oh, this is going to be difficult to do. City on a hill. Amen, Ken. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, having been justified, just as if I never sinned, justified, by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath. Wrath is for those who don't accept God that is to come. It's so amazing. God's wrath will be poured out on those who accept the doctrines and the ways of the devil. His wrath will be poured out on them because that's an anti-God mentality. So don't walk his way. Come to God's way, and you're going to have this free abundance of grace. Verse 10, we got to read it. For if when we were as enemies, we were reconciled to God, made one with God, reconciled, reconciled, made at one by the atonement, at one minute. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And now, 15 through 21. Now watch. This is the answer to everything I've talked about. Woo! I've been out in the truck praying in tongues, talking to Jesus all week, grinding gears and hauling water. Didn't have nobody to put all this into. But you guys got it all. Full throttle. Right now we're at 1 hour of faith. Watch this. Verse 15. The free gift is not like the offense. For one man sinned and caused us all to be sinners. How much more the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So Adam's sin affects everybody. Jesus righteous, and that affects everybody who will receive it. And all you got to do is receive it. The abundance of the free gift of righteousness. Watch. 16. The gift is not like that which came through the one of sin. For judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. How'd you like to have that in your history in heaven? Be the one person responsible for all the sin on the earth. And yet Adam went to heaven having lived 960 years on this earth. God was proud of him.
There's grace.
That's grace.
Goodness.
Now watch this. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification, just as if I never sinned. The whole reason why we've done everything we've done for 2 years is to grow your understanding in God. I've taught every doctrine you can teach just about. So that you will be raised in a level of understanding. I'm not trying to preach a message 6 days a week, 7 days a week. You need a message. You need a lifestyle. Live like God, walk like God, talk like God, act like God. That's what everything we've done is to get light inside of you and all darkness gone. Keep going. 17. If by one man's offense, he keeps talking about Adam, death reigned. Got the reins on you. Through that one. How much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness will reign. Wait, he used the same word, reigns. Now, The reins ain't wrapped around you with the bit in your mouth. Wah, wah, and the devil flogging you. Now you got a hold of life, and the reins are in your hand, and you're standing beside Jesus, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, reigning in this life. When that happens, listen to me, that happens, you will, now, every part of your life will be righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. And you'll get rid of every bit of wickedness there is. You will not put up with it at all. You won't put up with
it. For it.
You won't have any desire for it. So receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness will reign in life through our one Jesus. 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came, that's what we've been talking about, to all men, resulting in condemnation. Oh, don't look up, you lose your spot. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came. And he gave you his righteousness. Then, if my dad was a billionaire and I turned 50 and he said, you now have access to all the billions, and just one act, he gave me all the billions. And I now went from not billion to billion. We've seen it happen. When Sam Walton died, all of his children were given $30 billion apiece. And pretty much all of them went to hell. Began to put their money into the most wicked, perverse things around the world. 14. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. That's what we're here for. Brother Ken said, city set on a hill can't be hid. I'm shining this glory. 20. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. So it doesn't matter whatever sin you was ever a part of, God has so much more grace that it just annihilates it. People are like, well, but Pastor, I'm trying really hard not to sin. I spend every day going, I will not sin. See, you're doing all of that in your own strength. That will never work. Why? Because you're sin conscious, not righteousness conscious. As soon as you say, wait, Jesus, I can't do it. I'll fail every time. I receive your righteousness. Pastor, it can't be that easy. I'm telling you, it is that easy. I wrestled with it for years. When somebody hit the revelation to me, I'm like, I've been seeking this answer for years, and I grabbed that thing, and it changed everything in my life. I know I'm a prophet. I know I'm going to say words like I did today about tattoos and men of God going out and acting like sinners. I know it. That's not what you have to go say every day. I have to say that because I'm adjusting things in the realm of the Spirit. And when that's done, I don't want to be known for judgment. I'll be known for grace. What? Because as soon as you say, Jesus, come in, judgment's gone, sin's gone, hell's gone, and the only purpose for my life anymore after that is to help you get the grace working. And the abundance of grace working. So that every day you live like, whoa! And people are like, why are you like that? Because I'm not sin conscious. Saying, oh, I'm trying real hard. That just proves it's you. Stop trying real hard and receive. Pastor, I don't get it. I know. You don't need an intellectual understanding. You need a revelation of God's abundance of grace.
Amen.
21 messages in a playlist on YouTube we have preached right here for you to listen to come to the understanding of the free abundance of grace. Go listen to them. Please. And put some timestamps in. No. Why am I so fired up about this? Because in our hands is the end time harvest. But we can't get it looking at the devil, saying, oh, if I could just get somebody saved. We have to get it by looking at Jesus, the full abundance of grace, saying, I can help that man get delivered from the wickedness and the darkness that has him bound. But you can't help a man get unbound when you're bound yourself. I'm preaching better than you're staring right now. We have done a lot, Rebecca, and all the glory of it goes to God Almighty because he's continually brought his blessing on our life. And you guys were here to be a part of it, and we're a part of it, and his word has come alive on the inside of us in Jesus' mighty name. Verse 20. The law entered that the offense might abound. God wanted you to see the difference between sin and righteousness. He wanted you to see the difference. That's what the law was about. If you don't have any laws and you don't think there's anything wrong, there's a whole lot of people in this world that are completely godless because they won't even listen to the laws of nature.
Yeah.
And they don't know. They believe that whatever a man wants to do, let him do it. No. See, God wants you and I to take this verse. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Did I just preach that about tattoos? Yeah. Will I judge anybody with a tattoo ever? Nope. I mean, I carry a coin in my pocket. I carry this coin in my pocket from Joe Johnson. His mama gave it to me. Killed in action in Afghanistan. I carry this in my pocket. Joe had literally the biggest tattoo I've ever seen. He literally had Psalm 91 tattooed on his back from the top of his shoulders to his waist. All 16 verses with punctuation. Am I going to condemn a guy that does that? No. Am I going to condemn a guy that's got it coming up out of his shirt and up over his face? No. And I'm not ever going to say a word to him about it. Today, by the Holy Spirit of God, I had to say some words. I sure hope you didn't shut me off. You listened to my whole message. But see, that's what Mary and Kathy and I were preaching on last night. Some of you weren't able to be with us much this week, but Mary, Kathy, and I did a bunch of preaching this week. We did.
It was interesting, too.
It was life-transforming, wasn't it? And last night, they got to see... Go ahead, Kathy.
No, I said, amen. It was good. And Mary and I were talking for a long time. We don't know what you were. You were, and then the end came on, and she was talking to us. I don't know what you were.
Who fell asleep first?
No one knew.
Well, I didn't fall asleep. I was having to drive down the road and get out from where I was at and go do something else, but it's all right. No, wait a minute. I want everybody to hear this. We went from 7 days a week to, oh my God, can I even get where? No, I'm not going to say it that way. I'm changing me. Father, help us. Help me to be able to do your work that you gave me to do right here with no fail. Wait, I just added 16, 18 hours a day to what was already a full day. I'm stretching a little bit to get there, and I may need some of you to pick up some of that and do it yourself. But wait, we still work really hard to be with you, even though it wasn't on Facebook and YouTube. If you're one of us, I encourage you, get the Zoom link and come be a part of it. We're having it. Last night, Kathy and Sunday got this, or Mary got to see a beautiful North Dakota sunset.
yeah.
Over a lake. It was beautiful where I was at. But wait. I'm going to do what God's given me to do. And nothing's going to change it. And I'm getting all this stuff in order. We will not fail this mission he's given us. To speak faith. Those of you who've heard me today, and you may say, I don't know about this thing about tattoos, Pastor. I think you're way off. No, I'm not off. But what I'm doing is I'm fine-tuning that shortwave signal that says, I'll never judge you if you have a tattoo. I'm saying, why did you get it? Look in here. Because if the reason you got it is you want to remember the pain, Jesus came to deliver you from the pain. Not bring it back, because when you bring it back, you bring back the destruction of the devil. It wasn't from God. God did not take your son or your daughter. God received them when they crossed over. He did not take them. I don't care what lying preacher looked you in the eye and said, well, God needed an angel in heaven. He's a liar. There's no God needed an angel in the heaven verse in this Bible. Because angels are angels and humans are humans. And the little babies that are aborted don't go to heaven and be a little cute fat baby angel. No, they're humans. They are made in the image of God in heaven. They're walking around a being just like you and me. See, that's that whole mixture. It's trying to get people to accept death as from God. It is not. His nature is life.
Amen.
And that's all he can give you.
God is life.
Wait, ready? We're ending on the life, and we're ending on the grace. Where sin abounded was in abundance. Grace does much more abound. He fills you with his grace. Sin runs. Close all the drapes. Everything in this place, turn the lights off. It gets real dark. Take one little lighter and light that. And everybody in the whole place where it's dark will see that light and can walk right to it. They might fall over stuff. Why? Because they don't have enough light yet. But the more light you get, the less darkness you have.
Easier you see.
And Jesus comes as a great and shining light on the inside of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Let's recapitulate. Let's circle the wagons. Jonah was given a message of judgment for Nineveh. He went, said the judgment, they turned. But Jonah wasn't happy about it. He wasn't glad that God helped him turn. I'm glad when God helps you turn. But from the moment of turn, I'll never talk about your old stuff another day. Why? Because it's old, it's death, it's dark. The only thing we talk about from that day forward is life and life more abundantly. Or you'll be back living in that old stuff, not walking in the new stuff. Say it with me. I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
You am one. And I old things have passed away. Go ahead, say it, guys. I'm charging.
I am a new creation.
Woo!
Amen. I am a new
creation.
Amen. Right? Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
All things have become new.
Amen.
You know that the Catholic religion, don't believe that? Once you sin, and you did something wrong, then you're back. You don't believe that you are a new creation.
Huh. No, I didn't know that. No.
No one told me that. It's what I know this.
Yeah.
In my family.
Yeah.
And with my husband.
Yeah.
I know this.
Yep. Well, but if they got to keep you coming to confession and confessing to a priest and being dependent on that priest, Because if you learn the word of God, you no longer have to be dependent on that priest. I got a word for you. You better learn the God. You better learn who God is and quit being dependent on the priest, because you're going to stand before God, not that priest.
Yes,
yeah. You read the book of Hebrews. All priests die. Jesus doesn't.
Oh, wow.
All priests die. On this
when
earth.
I was just turning to run, it made more sense to me to go to God than go to the priest.
Yeah, amen.
I told my mom years ago, before she believed, I said, Mom, why don't you go to the big guy? And instead of saints or Mary or
yeah.
Priest.
Yep. Because you're going to a human who already died.
Yeah.
The only one that can give life is the only one that mastered all death, and that's Jesus.
Yeah.
That's why Buddha, Muhammad, Hare Krishna, Sun Yung Moon, and the rest of them guys, they're all dead. They all died. And on their deathbed, they all said, you better find Christ.
Yes, they did.
On their deathbed, they all said, you better find Christ.
Mm.
And because he fills you with life. He fills you with life. All children who are aborted are in heaven, Roger. All. Not one did not go to heaven. I mean, even the ones that were just barely old enough to tell they were pregnant. Even the ones who they went and got cleaned out after a night of fornication, and that was their form of birth control. And there was conception. That little speck is now a human in heaven.
Because
God never wastes a seed, not one. Now, I gotta close this.
Okay, I'll be quiet.
Now, let's talk about the Catholics for just a minute, because I got lots of Catholic friends with me. I'm not against you. Read your Bible and learn this. Confessing your sin to a man has no value to it. Because when it all gets done, you have to build a relationship with the Father, and he's going to say, why are you telling all those men about your sin? Why don't you come to me and talk about your sin? Because I'm the one that will give you righteousness and life. The verse they use is John chapter 20, and it's verses 21 down through 23, and it says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That's not a verse that builds a whole doctrine that as a man, I can sit in an office and have you come tell me your sin. Hello? The only thing that needs to happen in an office is that you come in the office and I tell you about the glory of righteousness and Jesus wipes it out and I never have to even know what sin you committed. Because since God wiped it out, why would I have to hear it? Wait, say it again. Since God wipes out all sin, why does a man have to hear it since it's all thrown in the sea of his forgetfulness? That man's now going to have a challenge every time he sees you in church to say, oh my goodness, that woman has been with how many different men? She came and confessed to me. No, see, that's putting a man in the wrong position between you and God.
Right.
There ain't no man between you and God. Read the book of Hebrews. It's all through. Straight, one access between you and God, straight to heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not down on you if you have a tattoo. I straightened out a doctrine today that men who are falling in front of wickedness, and they're standing in the pulpit saying it's all right with God. I'm straightening that doctrine now. And in the process, giving you the free abundance of grace, saying, stand alongside of me with your whole tattooed arm. It don't bother me. Why did you get it? And let's put grace on every part of your life. I'll never judge you. I never will. Everything you do from this day forward, you got to say, Jesus, why am I doing this to find life in a place of death? You can't find life in death except for Jesus. the free abundance of grace. Now, you ready? Every time you come here, I'm going to give you balance. Now, you ready? I'm going to give you a balance on forgiving somebody's sins. Ready? Because people are like, wow, he was way over there. No, I'm over here. No, I'm right down the middle of the road. Watch this. Had that accident the other day. And the lady in that car, my statement was, you will live and you will not die. And I declare your sins are forgiven you. And any sin you committed, it will be remitted. Wait, not because she was confessing them to me. I didn't need to hear one sin she said to get her in that position that if she went to heaven, she was going to meet God and be well. Nobody, she didn't have to confess no sin. I just made the declaration. Now, see, now I'm using that Bible verse the right way. That you got somebody in your life that's having trouble getting past their sin? You don't have to go to their face. Go in your prayer closet. Father, in Jesus' name, I remit that sin in their life. Now, I declare the abundance of revelation comes to my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle, my friend. What did you just do? You caused that sin to be interrupted because you're a righteous man of God. And now all of a sudden they're like, wow, I can think again. I can see again. Why? You interrupted it. You might have to do that 5, 6, 10 times with that one person. But don't just say sin is now taken away. I declare revelation comes into their life.
Amen.
Now we're using whosoever sins you remit will be remitted the proper way. Not somebody coming in saying, well, this week I lied 3 times on Monday. I stole some stuff at the office, put some pens in my pocket I shouldn't have taken. And I'm a man. What's that to me? I don't need that. The bottom line, there's only one thing that's got to happen. You say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. It's done. Now you're full of grace. Now you're filled with the blood. Now you're filled with life. Now you're filled with peace. But Pastor, I didn't have to work to earn it. There it is. You can't earn it. No matter how good you are, you'll never be righteous enough. Because you just receive what Jesus has done. That's a good message right there. Now I got to re-listen to it. Make sure I said it all right. As that war in the heavenlies was going on when I said that word tattoo. I'm standing on this end victorious, so I hope you stayed with me all the way through. Because all I did was confront darkness. I'm not afraid to confront darkness. I don't go out there in the truck every day and every man that comes up at the center, you wicked sinner, I can't believe. I don't do that. I'm standing there as light. I don't cuss. I don't swear. I don't tell no dirty jokes. Guess what? Automatically there's a difference between me and them, and they're like, something different about this guy. And I can throw a 4-inch hose as good as they can. Yeah.
And you're the one they come to when they need prayer.
And I'm the one they come to when they need prayer. That's you and I being the light in the darkness. Come on, Brother Ken Brumbaugh. It's so good to see you with us today, man.
Yes, it is.
God bless your life. Need time to wake up thinking about me. I am grinding gears somewhere, so make sure you pray for me, all right, brother?
Yeah.
Been praying a lot of prayers for you now. You need to get me some. No, I know you do, brother. I love you, Ken. Now, one more statement about where we are at, Leanne and I. Okay? And I'm doing this live on the internet so everybody can hear me. We are both working a job. And gainfully employed to make money. We've both found something that is producing a lot of money, and we like that. It's a good thing. It's adjusted how much we sit in front of the camera, but we are going to get that perfected. All right?
Amen.
And the gift that's on the inside of all of you will come alive. When God speaks to you in your private time, please help Pastor and Leanne do this. Do it. And if you say, I don't know how, contact me and Leanne and say, show me how to be a blessing with you. And we'll show you how God wants that gift in your life to come alive. We won't force you into something. You're not going to make you sit in front of the camera and teach. What we're going to do is help that gift inside of you come alive so the grace of God, his empowerment, is flowing through your life, standing alongside of us to get this mission accomplished. Because God hasn't changed his plan. He has magnified it to a greater level than ever before. I'm telling you, we are determined. We are going on that radio station in Kansas.
Yeah.
And if the opposition of the enemy faces everybody else, we'll crush it. The money will come through our hands and get it done. How serious are you about getting God's work done? I disagree with the fact that Paul had to go to work. I disagree with me having to be out there doing this. But I only disagree from the point of view that the covenant says abundance. My seed and seed time, our seed sowing demands a hundredfold return. So it's going to come at any point. We've been speaking it for 4 years. So I encourage you, stick with us and begin to search inside and say, Father, how can I be a blessing to Pastor in the end and help us preach the gospel around the world? In Jesus.
Stirring up the gifts within us. Amen. Thanks.
Mike, did I say that good enough or do you want to add more? Please join Sister Leanne, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 Central every morning for our prayer time. In order to do what we're doing, we've had to change the prayer time from noon until 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Michigan time, Ohio time. And she's on there. She's right now, she's only been on Zoom, but she's almost comfortable enough of it that she'll be able to go on Facebook too and make the Zoom program happen. She's getting comfortable with it.
Figuring out what buttons to touch, which one's not.
You got to realize there is a point where you go, oh, where did that go? Where did that go? Oh, my goodness. And it's like, do not touch that. And then you're like, I don't even know what I touched that makes sure. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, you know me. You're the one that gave me this message. And you know the hearts of every person. You know my heart, Jesus. I don't judge anybody that's got a tattoo or any of the effects of the world on them. I don't. You're my friend. I love you. Stand right alongside you. God, this message that we preached this morning, and bring revelation. Bring the revelation. Help each person get in and dig it out. Help them see 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and Romans chapter 5, the whole chapters, Jesus. May they just open these two chapters and just read these verses and study them and meditate and speak them and read them and study them and meditate them until it absolutely becomes alive in revelation to them. And they no longer see their sin or their sin consciousness. They walk in the righteousness of God.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. I pray this in your mighty name. Amen. And amen. It's time to receive communion. Here we go. It's not one slurp, one crunch, and we're done. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, verse 31, and 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Ready? This is how we do it. I'm going to read the word, pray the prayer of salvation, give you 2 minutes of instruction, receive the communion elements. When we're done, we're going to have been with our Lord and Savior Jesus like never before. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you right now. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, thank you, Lord, you put the whole Passover feast into a cup of grape juice and broken bread. We proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive process, his redemptive work. We give it, Lord. Verse 28, here's the process. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love, is perfected among us in this, that we that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. What judgment is that? Heaven and on earth. Why? Because as he, Jesus, is right now, so are you and I in this world. He's the head, we're the body. Perfect love, verse 18, cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in love. Say it with me. Trauma, I bind you in Jesus' mighty name.
Trauma, I bind you in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus Christ's
name.
Amen.
And be free. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation. Those of you that are live with us on Zoom, you're welcome to turn your mics on and pray this prayer with us. Why? I like it to sound like church. Amen?
Amen.
And we ain't all in the same building, but we sure all in the same room.
Amen.
All right? Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of
Jesus.
I love it because it's like this ripple echo effect in a tunnel. You know? I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Now I'm going to add a phrase. Clear down to the depths of my toenails.
Clear down to the depths of my toenails.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody give God a high five. Wait, God's in you, so you got one in, and God's the other one, so you gave God a high five. Right? He lives in you.
Okay.
Now, you might say, Pastor, wow, what's going on? Well, what just happened is God Almighty just filled you. God is light. The only light of this world is Father. Here comes the 90-second lady again. My goodness. All right. So you just got filled with light. That's why all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm feeling something. Well, it's more than a feeling. It's the experience of light filling every cell of your body. And I've heard people say, "Woo! This is the greatest high there ever was. Wow, what a rush." But what it is it's God Almighty filling every cell in your body. And so what happened is he came in. Now, all of his grace, mercy, love, and righteousness just filled your being. All of his grace, mercy, love, and righteousness just filled you. His blood just wiped away every sin. And you're standing here, a new creation. You're like, wow, this is a new place. You might say, Pastor, I don't even know how to be a Christian. Don't worry about trying to be a Christian. Wake up every day and say to the Father, Father, I choose to walk with you today. And then walk with him. Talk to him all day long like he is your dad. If your dad and you had a business and you worked alongside of each other all day long, treat our Father God who just came and filled you the same way as if he was standing there, well, since he's standing there with you. Now watch. That's a whole new mentality. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't know what's right and wrong to do. You won't have to worry about what's right and wrong to do. If you live in the light, you will never run to the darkness. I've never met anybody in a big, strong, black, beautiful, bright city that says, let me just run out here in the wilderness where I can't see a blessed thing. Until when they get out there, what do they say? I better turn on a light so I can see my path in the middle of the darkness. Last night, the stars were beautiful. I was out till about 4 in the morning. Well, I was out till daylight. Stars were beautiful last night, but I got a word for you. I had to have a light to get into the place where I could park my truck where I could see the beautiful stars. Otherwise, I was going to run over something. See how the importance of light is? Everywhere we go, he filled you with light. Now, he filled you with his Holy Spirit, and that means he's there to give you power to serve God every single day of your life. There's many of you that might say, Pastor, you're going so fast, I can't seem to keep up with you. That's why there's a rewind button. There's a hit the play button. Listen to it again. Move that little red dot across there and wait. Say, whoa, say that again, preacher. Say that again, preacher. I put timestamps in on people's YouTube videos everywhere. Why? That preacher just said something. I want him to say it again. The next time I watch this video, my timestamp's going to be in those comments, and I'll be able to click on that statement and go right back to that same place again. Send me an email. I'll tell you how to do that. Now, your life just changed forever, and you're now ready to receive the most wonderful communion elements and be a part of remembering what Jesus did for you. It's all available. My email address, website's right there in the notes. Make sure you like, love, subscribe, hit the bell on everything we do so that whether it's Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, Facebook, you'll be notified when we go live so you have the ability to be there. In Jesus' name. The day when I sat in that office, and that's what we did all day long, studying the Word of God, I could send shares out to everybody. Where I'm at right now today, I can't do that. I need you to be connected because you want to be connected. And I need you to learn the process of being connected so that it makes it more simple for all of us. And if you're good at a connecting person, then ask us and we'll give you the assignment of helping us connect. In Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Hold your communion elements up. Let's pray and bless them. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm waiting for my Zoomers.
Uh-oh.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the
name
of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For For my
the chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace
is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind,
nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ within my community.
In the body of Christ within my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And
right
here in this
community
of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together.
Can I tell you something? That's nice. And today is the first time I can actually take Jesus to cross lanes.
Hallelujah.
No more, Jesus.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wait, some of you have never shouted and had a testimony during communion.
Hallelujah.
But wait, she just gave glory to God that she can say the name Jesus.
Yeah.
And you might say, oh, Pastor, what happened? Well, she had a stroke. So I know you're not used to a testimony service during communion. Stop it. It's time to be holy. This is holy.
She is holy. She can say Jesus.
Say Jesus, my Lord Jesus. You ready?
I remember last night I was saying it funny, but today I just, Jesus.
Woo! Wait. If you were in Mary's house or in Kathy's house, you'd be up running around because they know the battle. You're trying to steal some words, and they don't come out because of that. Anyways, we bound the stroke, and it can no longer have an effect.
Amen.
Woo! Glory be to God, Kathy. Hallelujah. Wait. No, wait. The first time Kathy showed up, she literally made one statement and made us laugh for 35 minutes during communion. Thank you, Kathy. You're just always interrupting our communion. I tell you, what is
it? With joy.
The great amen.
The great amen, Roger. We are doing this communion, the blood of Jesus. You ready? By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Uh-oh. Heavy duty bread. I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission. In my life forever.
In my life forever.
I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new. And I thank you for it. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly. To the throne room of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help. For my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus. And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome. By the blood of Jesus.
By By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
Is cast down in my life.
Is cast down in my life.
And there's no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be. The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot.
Without wrinkle.
Without any other blemish. When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive.
Amen.
Ready? Let's sing our song about the blood. Let's sing power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood on the Lamb. Now, Dan and Gwen's anniversary. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Dan and Gwen. Happy anniversary to you.
That was good.
39 years.
Wow, that is.
Happy anniversary
to you. Let me say this one more time. I want to make sure everybody gets it. I'm not a clothesline preacher. I don't single out one sin and say this is the worst sin of them all. The whole purpose of what I said today by the Holy Spirit on that tattoo is to correct this wickedness that's coming from the pulpits of America. If you have a tattoo, I'll stand right alongside of you and never say a word about it. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. If you're a believer going to get one, you better talk to God about it. You better open this book. Find out what this says. I'm never going to judge you because you got a tattoo. Never a single day. I mean, I've got, who knows, 250 friends that are Gold Star families, and most of them have a tattoo about their loved one. I'm not going to judge it. I'm going to say, why is that preacher standing up there and saying, I did this so the world will follow me? That is not God. That's not God. That's the only thing I did. And then I talked about grace today. I want to say it one more time because judgment is not God's plan. He said to Ezekiel, I always do more through my mercy than I do through my judgment. So mercy is what we're all about. I don't want to be known as a judgment. I want to be known as I spoke a word, you turn, and let's walk in grace. Grace isn't a license to sin. Grace is an empowerment to live every day. In Jesus' mighty name. Very well said. Amen, Pastor. You did a good job. Thank you. I thought I did. That's why I said it. I know. Now, say it to you once again. We work hard every day to be here, and are really going to get these read the words back happening. This has just been a severe challenge to make it work like it needs to. I'm just learning my place, but I think by the end of,
today.
When the sun came up this morning, after having left at 6 o'clock yesterday morning, by the end of this morning, I think we got it. And I got a good friend, Doug Shattuck. If you've never met him, he's a wonderful man of God, good friend of mine. We're doing this thing together, and we're going to be a blessing to this company, and the company's going to see it, and we're going to reach a lot of people for the things of God. Those of you who are with us on Blog Talk Radio around the world, please contact me. I can help you do this in your language, in your nation, so your people can understand it in your language. But you got to email me. I can't email you. I don't know you. My email address is in the comments and the notes of every program I do. And if it's not, then just search my name, Samuel J. Cottle, and you'll find all the information about me. That's just who I am in Jesus' mighty name. Those of you that are with us, keep your eye on the family thread. And we'll be broadcasting. Make sure you like, subscribe, and hit the bell of everything that we do so that you have the ability to be connected to every part of it as soon as it goes live. And it'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. Anything else anybody's got to say or ask?
No. I'm going to go.
All right. Love you, Kathy. Love you, Sister Sunday. Brother Ken, bless you guys. Wait. Remember, we always say this every time we come together. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Those of you that are Zooming, if you want to stick around, we'll talk to you for just a minute here. Call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name.